Great to have you guys here. Hey, let's give a warm congratulations to everyone who got baptized. Good job. Love that. I understand the heating element's not working here. I apologize. Apparently today it's the polar baptism here at the broadcast campus. And so anyways, well, we're so glad you guys got baptized. So excited. That's an amazing thing. Maybe you say, oh, I've been a Christian so long, I just never actually did that. It's never too late. Obeying God's word never expires. And so I want to encourage you. I've seen people get baptized years later, even decades later, after they received Christ. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Even today, it's not too late to do that. You could jump up right now, head back. We got a change of clothes for you. You say, oh, man, I don't have a towel. We have a towel. I don't have a camera. We got lots of cameras on everyone's phone. Trust me, we got you covered. And so the only thing we're lacking is your obedience. Let's go. Obey God and get baptized today. Encourage you to do that. Glad you guys are here. Want to say hello to all of our campuses. I know we're doing baptisms everywhere. It's very exciting. And so we're really grateful that you've chosen to obey the Lord and be here. And also right now, do me a favor. If you came to support someone today, at whatever campus you're at, who got baptized, maybe your family or friend, would you stand to your feet so we can honor you and just say thank you for coming? Just stand to your feet if you came. Come on, if you came to honor someone today, give these people a hand. Thank you so much for coming. We're really grateful for you. Thank you, guys. At all of our campuses, thank you so much. You may be seated. Again, we're glad you guys are here. We've been in a series called Waiting Well, or How to Wait Well. And today I want to talk about a guy named Joseph. Joseph had a dream that God had given him, but then he had to wait literally a decade and a half or so before he saw that dream happen. And maybe you are waiting for something to happen in your life as well. So what I'm going to do is, instead of reading all the scripture, we're going to read key verses, but instead of reading the entire story, that would take a very long time. I'm just going to tell the story of Joseph. That's okay. And then just, we're going to intersperse it with different points and different things along the way. So I'm very excited about today's message. Maybe you've heard the phrase before. It's a phrase in the Old Testament they use a lot. They would say, I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? That's a common phrase. Well, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the son of Jacob is Joseph. And Joseph was the son of Jacob and Rachel. Jacob was also married to Rachel's sister, Leah. Yeah, I know that's straight up Jerry Springer. I understand. But that's how they did it back then. We're not agreeing with it. That's how it happened. So anyways, that's a whole other issue right there. But the Bible, by the way, is not confirming and saying we should have polygamy. It's a progressive revelation. So it starts out with many wives, ends up with one wife. By the time Jesus talks about it, you also have many gods in the Old Testament, ends up with one God being Jesus. Make sense? So it's a progressive revelation showing us that. So anyways, theology, let me set that aside for a moment, but let me just unpack the story. So Joseph, all of his brothers pretty much had the same mama, and Joseph's mama was different. So because of that, they all kind of had this natural separation. And then to make matters worse, Joseph's father, Jacob, favored Joseph. He gave him a special coat. He had the coat of many colors. It was like a members only jacket. He was the only member. And so basically, you know, he had the only one. And so all the other brothers hated him because they knew that dad loves him more than us, right? And so then Joseph one day has a dream. And after the dream, he wakes up and shares a dream with his brothers. Now, we all have dreams that are kind of random and weird and that mean nothing. Okay, so there's a lot of that. So I want to say, God doesn't speak to you through every one of your dreams. I've been waiting for God to tell me for a long time. What does it mean when I'm on roller skates, riding through the mall, and as a sixth grade kid, I don't understand, but that's the dream I have. I don't know why. But anyways, so we all have that weird, how many of you guys have that weird dream? You're like, makes no sense, I don't understand. Right, we all have a dream like that. So forget that. That doesn't mean everything is God speaking to you. But occasionally, maybe God does speak to you through a dream. Maybe one's really been powerful, really meant something to you, right? Joseph has a dream like this. He wakes up and he tells his brothers, hey, guess what? I had this dream. My dream was that I was carrying wheat, because remember, they were all farmers. I was carrying wheat, and all of you came and bowed your wheat towards my wheat. You all bowed to me. And they were all like, oh, that's great, Joseph. So your dream is we all bow to you, right? So apparently Joseph didn't understand that he needed a marketing department in front of his mouth to stop him from saying things, you know. And so they were, you know, furious with him about this. Are you kidding me? And one of the reasons they're so mad is because they're like, what? Oh, we're all going to bow to you? No, if we're going to bow to anyone, we'd all bow to Judah, the oldest brother, because in a Jewish tradition, the older brother would one day take over the farm, and we'd all work for him, and so we're going to bow to him, and we're not bowing to you. You're the runt of the family. You're the youngest kid, right? But I just want to point out before we go any further in the story that God is a God of reversals. And so God takes the last and says, the last shall be first. He takes the weak and said, the weak will be strong. So I've got good news for you. If you may not be in a really favored spot, but God says, I'm a God of reversals. I can turn things completely around for you if you'll trust me. Isn't that good to know that? So he has this dream. His brothers are furious about the dream. It says in Genesis chapter 37, verse 5, one night Joseph had a dream.
And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Okay, so now they can't stand him. Then one day, and I don't know if this day was a week later or a month later or a whole season later, we're not sure on the timing of it, but some point in time, they're way out on land that their dad owned working, and Jacob, the dad, says to Joseph, hey, go check on your brothers. Well, again, this makes him so mad. So the youngest kid's going to come supervise us, check on us. You know, it's just infuriating, right? So dad just doesn't quite get what he's doing to the brothers, right? Go check on your brothers. So now Joseph trots along and sees his brothers are, you know, forever away. So he gets there eventually. And on the way, they see him from a distance. And this is what they say. Here comes the dreamer, they said. Come on, let's kill him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dream. One of the things I want to point out is that when you have the favor of God in your life, that's a wonderful thing to be loved by the Father. And maybe you had a good earthly father, have a good earthly father who loves you, and you have favor because of that. That's wonderful. And there is real favor when the father loves his children. There really is. But maybe you don't have that, and it's a stark difference in your family compared to a friend of yours' family. Or maybe just spiritually speaking, you feel the love of the Father, and so you know you're loved and you have confidence from that, and other people don't have the love of the Father, and so they don't like you. And so there's a jealousy when someone sees that they have God's hand on their life and others don't like it. So just know that going in other words, you may wonder, like, I just walked in the room and people hate me. I don't understand. It's because you don't realize it, but you're exuding the love of the Father. And when you get up next to someone who doesn't have that, there's a stark difference. And they sense it and don't like it. So just be encouraged. That's God's favor on your life. It's not a bad thing. But sometimes not everyone agrees with it. Not everyone likes it, right? And so they say, hey, let's kill him. Then one of the other brothers says, oh, instead of hurting him, let's sell him. His brothers agreed. Oh, that's so nice. We'll just sell him into slavery instead. And so this is, you know, their version of being nice. Like, we're not going to kill him. We'll sell him into slavery instead. So if you're taking notes, the first thing I want to tell you is that you will be underestimated. Maybe you have a dream. You shared it with someone in your family, and they're like, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen for you, right? So maybe they belittled your dream or underestimated you. That can be very offensive. Maybe you started a business and your family says, how's that little business of yours going? And you're just like, oh, little. Why do you have to use the word little, right? So they're belittling what God's put on your heart, right? And then maybe for you, just like Joseph's brothers, you feel betrayed. And that was Joseph. He was literally betrayed by his brothers. They sold him into slavery. So what they did is they sold him. Basically, they saw some Ishmaelite traders coming through town. They saw him, hey, let's sell Joseph to them, right? They'll get rid of him. So they made some deal, and they got money for him, and they sold him. And then the Ishmaelite traders took him to Egypt. Joseph did not know that when he went to Egypt, he was actually closer to what God's plan was all along. I've got good news for you. When someone else discards you and throws you to the wayside, God actually uses that to throw you forward in your life. He's moving you in the direction he wants you to go. So just be encouraged by it. Yep. So now Joseph ends up, after being underestimated and being betrayed, he ends up a slave in Egypt. Okay, he doesn't look like them. He doesn't talk like them. It's a new culture, and he's a slave. He no longer has freedom. So he's bought by a guy named Potiphar. Potiphar was a very evil and powerful man. He was the head of the king's bodyguard. That means he was the king's henchman. If the king said, I don't like that person, Potiphar would step forward and say, forget about it, and take care of it. That's what Potiphar did, right? And so he killed for a living. He would, you know, the king doesn't like you, Potiphar comes by your house, it's over, that's it. And so he would take you out, right? That was his job. Well, when he went to work for Potiphar, guess what? God began to bless Potiphar's household just because Joseph was there. One day Potiphar's like, hey, Joseph, will you go clean up the back stables? You know, I got all these horses and they're a mess. Would you go clean them up? Yeah, so he goes and cleans it up. At some point in time, he walks through and goes, man, this is so clean, this is so nice, right? I can't believe this. Hey, Joseph, would you clean up the back room of my house? Sure. So he cleans it up, and he's like, wow, it's never looked nicer. He goes, Joseph, will you just clean up the whole house? He's like, well, but you have servants for all that. Yeah, I know, but I'm just going to put you over all of them. Like, yes, sir, I'll do whatever you ask. So he cleans up the whole house. Eventually, he's like, man, everything in my house has never looked better. It's never been more organized. So he says, Joseph, come over here. And he opens the books. Let me show you all the businesses I own. What do you think I should do with these? Joseph's taking a look. Yeah, this one's not too profitable. I think you can move this and maybe change this and that. This will become more profitable. And then this business over here, we can expand it this way. Joseph just blessed anyone wherever he worked. And so he just grew his household, organized all of his business entities, and so he was blessed. And so everyone took notice of Joseph because of the excellence he lived. The problem was Potiphar took notice of Joseph, so did Potiphar's wife. That's a problem, right? We'll just call her Hotifer. Okay, so Genesis 39, verse 6 says, Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. Oh, I've had this problem my whole life. So then, it says, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. She said, come and sleep with me, she demanded. She was real clear, let's get it on, right? He's like, no, I can't do that. And if you study the scripture and read it in detail, he's like, no, I can't do that. He said, your husband's entrusted me with your entire household. Everything your husband has, he's entrusted me with. Why would I jeopardize that? Like the only thing that would be off limits would be you, and I'm not touching you. And he said, and then he also said this. He said, also, why would I do this and offend my God? So it's so powerful. By the way, if you struggle with lust, what a great insight into how to overcome it. So you always remember before you take that next step, and lust could be sexual lust in this case. It could be lust for power, lust for revenge, lust for fame. There's all kinds of forms of lust. But basically, God says, hey, one of the reasons why he shows us this story, Joseph shows us, why do you avoid lust? Why do you avoid acting on that? Because it will cost you all that God's already done for you. So it's just not worth it. It'll cost you so much more than it's worth. I promise you, you will lose everything that you love if you give into that. So I'll encourage you, that's one reason to stay away. So here's what happens. She does not take no for an answer. She's, you know, Joseph's working in the back, you know, and so, you know, he's cleaning the pool, and then she shows up to sunbathe suddenly, like, oh, come on, you're right? So he's trying to avoid her, then he goes to the front of the house, and she decides to sunbathe in the front of the house. You know what? And he can't get away from her. He's inside the house. She just shows up. She's like, Joseph, could you come here? Oil my back, please. Right? He's like, ugh. So he's trying to get away from her, right? So finally, he's in the house one day, and she just walks up, and she just grabs him, like, forget, you know, any, like, let me try to attract you. Now she just jumps on him, right? He's like, get away from me, right? And so she grabs him by the coat. He's like, no. So he just says, you can have the coat, but you can't have me. So he sheds the coat and runs out. Now she's holding the coat. Now she's angry. She's a little crazy, okay? This is one. You know the whole crazy hot matrix? She proves this is real, okay? Because she was both, probably. And so at this point, she's holding the coat, and she just starts screaming and yelling. The other servants come running in, and she says, this Hebrew slave wants to make sport of me, and he tried to rape me. Couple things. First of all, that's funny. You never mentioned he was Hebrew until now. That's funny. The skin color doesn't come up until you didn't get what you wanted. Isn't that interesting how that works? And so all of a sudden that this Hebrew, because they're all Egyptians, he came to make sport of us. You know, he tried to rape me, right? So what happens next? Look what happens. Potiphar shows up after all this big hoopla, like, what's going on? Why is everyone upset? Why is my wife crying? He walks in. Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story. Key word there, story. She made it up. So he took Joseph and threw him into prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. So he throws him in prison. Now, hold on. I just want to back up. Why would a guy who murders people for a living not murder Joseph for attempted rape on his wife? Maybe Potiphar knew something about his wife? I'm just a thought. I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm just thinking maybe he knew his wife got around more than a common cold. I'm just saying. And so all of a sudden, he throws him into prison instead. So Joseph's character literally probably saved his life right here because he knew. He's like, no, I know Joseph, and I also unfortunately know my wife, so I know probably who was actually at fault. So we're just going to throw you in prison. In other words, what was Potiphar doing? He was saving face. He was like, yeah, you're going to prison. And so Potiphar, for being so strong, was actually kind of weak and appeased his wife when he probably knew what was really going on, because he could have killed him. It wouldn't have been a problem at all for him to do that. He would have had legal right to do it, to kill a slave. Not saying it's right. Slavery, we know, is not right, but it was a reality, okay? And so at this point, he throws him in jail. But not any jail. He throws him in the jail of he throws him in the Pharaoh's jail, which is the king's jail, which would be about three notches down below in the basement of the castle where the king lived. Would be a jail that was like his private jail, okay? So he throws him in there. And so Joseph is like, man, I went from being a slave, I was betrayed, now I'm a slave, now I'm falsely accused. And that's our next point today, is that if you do anything successfully, eventually people will lie about you. And so that's what happens next. So he's underestimated, he's betrayed, now he is lied about. And so at this point, I just want to stop and mention a story. I remember watching one time, Oprah Winfrey was interviewing a young actress who had just kind of made it. She'd just broken through and had her lead role in a new movie and, you know, suddenly just made her famous instantaneously. The young actress was complaining, saying it's so frustrating. She was talking about, and I forget which magazine it was like Us Magazine, People Magazine, The National Enquirer, one of them. And it was kind of a gossip rag, and they were telling this horrible story about her, and the actress said, none of it's true. Like, none of what they wrote is true. It is completely fabricated. And it's so frustrating. And Oprah smiled and looked at her and said, that means you made it. And she was like, oh. She's like, yeah, that means you made it. I just want to encourage you, if someone's lying about you, that means you're making it. That means you're doing good. It means that they can't compete against you, so they have to make stuff up about you. So don't worry about that. People will lie about you. Just let it happen and move forward and don't worry about it. I know it's easier said than done. I realize that. But I want to encourage you, just don't sweat it. Just do what God has led you to do. So now Joseph is thrown into prison. He's falsely accused, thrown into prison. And so at this point, what does Joseph do? He does the same thing he did in Potiphar's house. He starts cleaning everything up. So all of a sudden, the prison warden's walking by. He's like, who are you, the new kid? Joseph. Right, okay. And so, you know, he walks by. And then a couple days later, he walks up by. He's like, whoa. Who cleaned up your jail cell? I was like, I did. What? Like, it was horribly dirty, and now it's clean and nice. Like, what in the world? So I'm sure at that point, the jailer must have been like, hey, Joseph, you know, I'm going to let you out and put you in another prison cell. Could you clean that one up too? Then he does. Then he cleans all the prison cells up. And he's like, and by the way, Joseph at some point said, hey, I notice our meals are kind of hit and miss. Can I help organize that? Maybe talk to the chef and put us on a good schedule and maybe help order the food. And he's like, that'd be great. We're kind of disorganized around here. So he organizes the whole jail. Pretty soon, staying in the prison, you know, below the king is like staying at the Ritz-Carlton. I mean, this is like nice now. So it's like, wow, when Joseph's in charge, everything just gets nicer, right? So then the king gets mad at his cupbearer and his baker, throws them in jail. While they're in jail, they both have dreams. They're talking about their dream, and one of them says, hey, I heard a rumor, Joseph, that you can interpret dreams. Can you tell us what our dreams mean? Joseph says, well, I can't do it, but my God can. So he says, well, here's my dream. So one of them tells a dream, and he tells the cupbearer, hey, I heard your dream. Your dream means in 3 days, God will reinstate you to be next to the king. So let me read the scripture on this. This is really powerful. It says, within three days, Pharaoh will restore you to your position as his chief cupbearer. And please remember me and do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this place. Right? She's like, hey, things are going to go good for you. Don't forget about your boy, okay? Don't forget, right? So then the other one, the baker, says, hey, I had a dream too. Here's my dream. What does it mean? And Joseph's like, oh, I'm really sorry to tell you. Your dream means in 3 days you're going to be killed. And sure enough, in 3 days, the cupbearer is elevated back to his position. The baker is killed. But here's the problem. The cupbearer totally forgets about Joseph. And I want to tell you something. In our lives, when we're waiting, you're going to feel forgotten. I'm just going to tell you right now, you're going to feel forgotten. This happened to all of us where you're like, man, does anyone even know I'm here? You know, the boss is handing out raises in new positions, and you just get forgotten. You're like, I mean, I've been working my butt off. It's like I'm not even here. No one even noticed me. Maybe you're in a relationship and someone just left you, blew you off, betrayed you. You're like, wow, it's like I don't exist. And you feel forgotten. You feel like I'm in this small little corner of the world doing what I do and no one even knows I'm here. Would it even matter if I wasn't here anymore? And the answer is yes, it would matter greatly. But you feel forgotten. We've all had this feeling before. We feel like no one even knows. In fact, do you know Joseph had to wait another 2 years? 2 years. That's a prison sentence, literally in his case. 2 more years? And then finally, the king has a dream. The king can't figure out what it means. He calls in his magicians, his enchanters. He says, hey, here's my dream. Can you guys tell me what this means? They couldn't tell him. And then the cupbearer standing beside him holding a cup, right? He's like, excuse me, Pharaoh, I just remembered something that I forgot. There's this guy 3 stories below you named Joseph in your prison. He's like, oh, I haven't been in my prison in years. He goes, you should go check it out. It's actually very nice down there. What? He goes, yeah, Joseph cleaned it all up. Oh, I had no idea. Who is this Joseph guy? Well, Joseph can interpret dreams. He says immediately, send for Joseph. I want to hear him right now. Joseph, they go get him. He cleans up, gets a fresh shave, puts on new clothes because you don't present before the king unless you look right. So he comes before the king. And I love what Joseph does. He walks and he's like, sir, I understand you have a dream. How can I help you? What Joseph doesn't do is important. Guess what he doesn't do? He doesn't walk in and look over to his left side or to the king's right side and see the cupbearer and go, that guy betrayed me. He didn't tell you about me. I should have been here 2 years ago. He didn't do that. He also didn't look at Potiphar and go, and that guy, I cleaned up his whole household and his wife is crazy. He didn't do that. He didn't mention any of that. Let me tell you something. God can't elevate you unless you learn to let go of resentment. He didn't carry that stuff. You carry resentment from your last relationship, you'll be talking about that on your first date. You won't have a new relationship. You gotta let that stuff go. You're mad at your old boss, don't bring that stuff to your new boss. They should never even need to know about you. You let all that go. So he shows up, says to the king, "Sir, how can I help you?" He says, "I had this dream." You're Joseph, right? Yeah. I got this dream. So he immediately just says, "Please tell me your dream." And he says, "It's God's business to interpret dreams." Because he says, "Hey, I heard you can interpret dreams." He goes, "No, it's not me. It's my God." He always points to God. It's God's business. So the king says, "Here's my dream. I dreamed of these 7 fat cows. I don't know why. And then I had another dream of these 7 skinny cows. But in my second dream, the 2nd skinny cows ate the 7 fat cows. I don't know what that means." Joseph says, "I know what your dream means. It means this." He says, "Pharaoh, in the next 7 years, Egypt's going to have a booming economy. Everything's going to go right. I mean, all stocks go in the same direction, straight up." Right? He says, "Everything's going to be going really well. The gross national product will be off the charts. But then 7 years in, everything's going to change. And all of a sudden, the economy will turn and it will all fall apart. And the 7 years after the feast will be such a bad famine, it will consume all of the first 7 years. It'll be like it didn't even exist." So then he says this. "So here's my recommendation to you. My recommendation is that you hire someone who is well-equipped to organize things and can save 20% of the gross national product, it's actually called GDP, the gross domestic product of Egypt. Save it. Probably I recommend wheat and grain because it saves well. And then when the 7 years is done, you'll have plenty. And then when it really gets bad, you'll be able to sell grain and sell wheat to those who are hurting. It will enrich the kingdom like you've never been enriched before. You think you're wealthy now, Pharaoh, you will be wealthy beyond measure at that point, and you'll also be able to save your people." The king was like, "That is so brilliant." He's looking at his enchanters like, "What the heck? Why couldn't you tell me that? This guy's brilliant. Who is this guy? Joseph? You got me. I mean, is this for real? Do I know this is really going to happen?" The cupbearer's like, "Yeah, I mean, king, I'm sitting here. I mean, he said this was happening. I'm still here. And he said the baker wouldn't be here, and he's gone." And he's like, "Well, that's true." He must have looked over at Potiphar's liking, "But do you trust this guy?" Potiphar looked at him and said, "Yes, I actually would trust him." Whoo, that's a big thing for Potiphar to say. All of a sudden, the king says, "You know what I'm going to do? Come here." Pulls the ring off his finger, says, "Come here." Puts on his finger, says, "Now you are in charge of all of Egypt. The only one who's going to be over you is me. I'm going to let you do the exact plan you just laid out. I heard the prison down there looks nicer than my palace. So if you can organize that, then you can organize our whole nation, and I want to put you in charge." Let's pick up in the story. Isn't this an incredible story, what God's done in Joseph's life? Don't let me jump in here. Let me give you a couple of what to do's. Here you go. What to do when you're underestimated. First of all, what does Joseph do? He sticks with the dream. He doesn't back off a dream God gave him. How do you know he stuck with the dream? Because he was using his gifts, right? And also, what do you do when you're betrayed? You make the best of your situation by using your gifts. Can I tell you something about your giftedness? God's given you gifts, and no man can take them away. The devil knows he can't take your gifts, so he's going to try to take your mindset so you won't use your gifts. He'll try to get you so offended, so frustrated, so depressed, you won't get up and use your gifts. So the wise thing to do when you feel betrayed is just to double down and utilize your gifts for God. God will use that. What do you do when you're lied about? You persevere in your gifts. And you remember that Jesus was lied about too. So I want to encourage you. So if you are underestimated, stick to the dream, betrayed, use your gifts, lied about, persevere in your gifts. And what do you do if you're forgotten? Stay faithful and keep interpreting dreams. What does that mean? It means helping other people. And so what does interpreting dreams mean? Well, here's our job. If you're an employee, your job is to interpret dreams of your employer and say, what does my boss want? And let me give them what they want, right? If you own the company, you should be saying, what do my customers want? Let me give my customers what they want. I need to interpret the dreams. Like if they walked into your coffee shop, what would the dream experience be for them? Your job is to give it to them. Interpret that dream. Does that make sense? Let's talk about your marriage. You're saying, you're like, Pastor, I don't know what my wife means. I went to her the other day and I said, are you mad? She's like, no. And you knew, like, yeah, I think she's mad. You got to interpret that. Now, let me be clear. You know, we don't know. And so the best way you can interpret this is to say, honey, could you give me a little direction here? I want to know, what do you want me to do? And I'm willing to do it. So I'm going to try to interpret what your dreams are for what a husband should be like. And let me Let me do that for you. Does that make sense? You got little kids. Maybe you're a parent. Your job is to interpret your kids' dreams. Even when they're only 10 years old, they have dreams. What do you want to do, sweetie? If you could do anything in the world, what would you do? Let me help you do that. If you will help other people achieve their dreams, they'll help you achieve yours. Joseph was good at interpreting dreams. Let me show you three verses real quick. I want to tie together because there's a trend we see with Joseph. And so I now want to ask you about your trend. It says in Genesis 39, verse 6, with Joseph there, Potiphar didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Potiphar's house was so organized when Joseph was there, he was like, the only thing I got to worry about tonight, am I going to have enchiladas or fajitas? Which one's it going to be? That's my only concern, right? Because Joseph's got everything, right? Then fast forward, now Joseph is running the prison. It says the warden had no worries because Joseph took care of everything. Then you fast forward towards the end of the story when Joseph is now running Egypt. His brothers show up to him, right? And he tells them at some point, he says, hey, don't worry. He says this, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of all of you and your children. So Joseph's trend was this. If I'm in charge, I'll take care of you. Whatever you need, I got you. That was how Joseph trended. Let me ask you something. How are you trending? Trending means we see a trend in something. It happens again and again and again, right? If you see a stock go up to $50, drops back down to $40, goes back up to $50, drops down to $40, does that four or five times, what are you going to do when it hits 40? You're going to buy. Why? Because you know the trend, right? The trend's going to go back to 50, right? So you're like, okay, if I follow the trends, I can really win in this, right? What's your trend? Let me just ask you, let's just be honest in here. We all have a trend. Is your trend, let me just ask you, dude, maybe you're single, is your trend that there's three different ex-girlfriends that are all broken apart because of you? Is your trend to break people? Or is your trend to bless people? Right, let's just be honest. Is your trend that when the boss makes you mad, you quit in a huff and find another job? And that's why you have no good references on your resume because everyone that you used to work for doesn't like you? Is that your trend? Or is your trend that everywhere you've worked before, they say, oh, I wish they'd come back and work for us again because everything was better when they were here. What's your trend? How are you trending? Late at night, what's the trend for you? What do you find yourself doing? Is it healthy or is it unhealthy? We all have trends, don't we? Sunday morning, the alarm goes off, hopefully, and you trend towards God's house. So just, what are your trends? I just want to ask you that because you can learn a lot about someone by the trends in their lives. So it's very important to look closely at that. Now, a couple things I want to say real quick. First of all, Joseph interprets a dream and creates a plan of action, and God promotes him immediately. Genesis 41, 39 says, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court. All the people will take orders from you. Only I will have a rank higher than yours. Now, I want to read a sentence to you. Because I want you to understand what happened for Joseph. Because we always talk about all the stuff that Joseph went through, all this horrible situation. But let me read this one sentence for you to understand what God was doing. Listen very carefully. Here it is. You ready? Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt at the age of 30. He became vice president of the United States, just turned 30. He became the COO of Tesla, age 30. I just want you to imagine the age that he is with the responsibility he has. You go, that's crazy. That's unbelievable. That success level is off the charts. It's unexplainable. Could it be that God was letting the world throw hell at him in every direction, fast and furious because he wanted to develop him fast because he knew one day, and that day is not far away, Joseph, I've got something so big for you that I've got to develop you quickly. Oh, now think about your problems. Oh, God's not trying to stop me. He's trying to develop me because he's got something big for me. If I'll stay faithful and hang in there, it's going to be amazing. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. God has a plan for you. And guess what happens next in the story? It's such a cool story. I encourage you to read it on your own time. Guess what happens? Joseph now is the 7 years of plenty happened. He's built these huge granaries. There's massive tanks full of grain. In the first couple years of the famine happened after the 7 years is done. all of Egypt is starving. They're coming to Joseph to buy grain. This is enriching the king as well. Then it goes from that. It gets even worse. Now foreign nations, people are showing up. So people from all over the world are now showing up and saying, hey, we all heard that you have food and no one else has food. We'd like to buy food from you. And they're paying exorbitant prices. And so, again, he's enriching the king and the kingdom. And so one day Joseph is doing what he always does. He's standing out front. Now Joseph's probably, so he was 30, so now he's probably about 40 years old. Now he's standing there because it's been about, you know, you're halfway into the bad 7 years now. And as he's standing there, keeping watch over all this gigantic line that looks like a mile long of people coming to get grain and buy it, he looks and he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Is that who I think it is? No. He begins to weep. He sees his brothers in line. They've come from a far distance. He's like, you got to be kidding me. His brothers get up to him, and guess what they do? They bow. Boom. The dream is fulfilled in that moment. You know, he must have been like, I can't look. He's broken up. He can't believe it. It's like, it actually happened. God knew what he was doing. He said, your brother's wheat is going to bow to your wheat. In other words, he's the only one who had wheat. They bowed to him. Shortly after this, his own father came and bowed to him as well. You know when his brothers showed up to bow to him? They didn't recognize him at all. They didn't even recognize him. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. When God's through with you, your own family won't recognize you. God's got big things for you. He's got huge things for you. And then Joseph says this very famous line in Scripture, Genesis 50, verse 20, because they're thinking, oh, they're going to, that's Joseph, I can't believe it. He's going to kill us. We deserve to die. We sold him into slavery. And Joseph says, no, I'm not going to do that. And then he says this famous line. He says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. Wow. Joseph forgave them. He basically is saying, I forgave you a long time ago. I see the hand of God on my life now. It's okay. I know you were angry with me. You threw me into a cistern. You had sold me to slavery. I know you meant for me just to go away, but God was sending me where he needed me to go. It's okay. And then he said this. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. If I could tell you one thing about all that you've gone through, all that you're going through, and where God is taking you, I would tell you this. Joseph forgave his brothers. He sees his dream fulfilled and realizes the reason for the dream has always been about saving lives. You see, the dream God's put in you to succeed at whatever it is that you do is so that you can utilize your position of influence and one day affluence to impact the kingdom of God, to save lives. All of a sudden you realize, oh, so I'm a business owner and I've been wanting the business to succeed and expand and take on new territories and I want to get more trucks on the ground. I want to get more territory that we're selling our product in. And God says, yeah, but do you know why? So you think it's just about enriching yourself and your family, but it's actually so you can do what? So you can utilize the resources you have to save more lives, to give more to the kingdom, to make a bigger difference. Because at some point, another vacation home is just another place to stay. At some point, what you dreamed about actually gets old. And you're like, yeah, it just doesn't fulfill me. Right, because it's not supposed to fulfill you, because this is that's of this world. We're not of this world. So God begins to resource you, and you realize, God, this isn't for me, is it? This is to be a blessing. I love the fact that our church, that we feed 40,000 people a year as a church. You know, I had no idea that one of the reasons why God allowed our church to get so large was so that we could make a big impact in our city. And so, but once we got our eyes off ourselves and just said, God, we want your will, we want what you want, we began to realize we can save a lot of people. We can bless a lot of people. So I just want to challenge you with whatever it is you meet. You say, man, I want to be a principal one day in my school. God says, that's great. So you can save the lives of many teachers and students. So you can show them who Jesus is by the way you live your life. I want to be in charge at the refinery. And God says, that's awesome. I want to utilize that so you can save many lives. So you can be an influence. You can be use your affluence. God says, I want to elevate you in the military. I want to elevate you in education. I want to elevate you in whatever you do so that we can do great things. Someone needs to start dreaming some dreams today because God has a plan for you just like he had a plan for Joseph. And maybe a lot's coming at you, but it's a good plan to develop you. That's why he's letting it happen. Would you bow your head to me, every head bowed, every eye closed? My prayer is that God is speaking to you today. Just want to encourage you today with your head bowed, your eyes closed. Just like Joseph said, what you meant to harm me, God meant for good. I want to tell you something. What the devil meant to harm you, God will use for good. He has good plans for you, to bless you, to take care of you. So with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I'm now going to tell you the title of the message at the end of the message. The title of the message was, "The Payoff is Worth the Pain." The payoff is worth the pain. If you're in some pain today, maybe your prayer is to say, "God, I'm not going to focus on what I'm going through. I'm going to focus on where I'm going. Thank you, God. You have a good plan for my life. You're sending me in the right direction. What others meant to harm me, you mean for good. Thank you, God. You're developing me into who you want me to be." Now, every story in the Old Testament is a story that points to Jesus. In this story, Joseph is Jesus because he is the one who gives his life to save all his brothers. With your head bowed, your eyes closed, Jesus does that for you. He died on the cross. He really did. Then he rose again from the grave, proving that he's God. Now he waits for you and I to individually receive him. You can pray this simple prayer. You can make Jesus your Lord and your Savior right now. Pray this prayer with us. You can just say this out loud. Just say, "Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me." With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you just gave your life to Christ, no one's looking around, would you just lift your hand high if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time? Just hold your hand high if you just gave your life to Christ. Thank you. Hold it high. There's hands going up all across our churches. Hold those hands high. Thank you, Rodfield. Thank you, Stone Oak. Hold those hands high. Praise God. Praise God. Right there at Portland. Praise God. Thank you, Rockport Fulton. Thank you, Padre Island. Hold those hands high. If you're online with us right now, you can let us know in the text chat. Just text "my hands raised" or click "hand raised" right now. In our prison ministry, lift your hand high if you just gave your life to Christ. We praise God for you, for the decision you made to give your life to Jesus. Father, thank you for what you're doing through your word, through your teaching. Lord, thank you, God. Your word is so powerful. And Lord, just like Joseph, when we're going through it, God, help us to see that the dream is still alive, that you've got good plans for us, and that those plans are for us not just to be a big shot, but to make an impact, to save many people. Lord, help us to be like Joseph, to be faithful with our gifts and to utilize them for your work. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true.